The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Five minutes after eight. I'm John Caldera. Good morning and welcome. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. In for the big man, George Brockler. George, hey, thanks for letting me sit in on this. What a kick for me. To scare away your listeners, you have to rebuild the audience once you get back. Did you hear this one? So our governor, God, I am impressed with the schmarminess of our governor, how he can take credit for the sun rising and the media will fawn all over it. So can U.S. listeners understand that Colorado has the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, even though it has been decimated by bad court decisions, even though the legislature pokes holes in it by calling things a fee instead of a tax, and therefore stealing our refunds, we have had so much money flowing through the state coffers that even with Referendum C, which raised our budget limit, our Tabor limit, with a growth dividend, with the mill levy freeze, with the faster fees, with the hospital provider fees, and all these other fees, including all the fees that they've done since Polis has been in office, fees for gas, fees for your Uber fees, food fees for plastic, I mean, just fees out the wazoo. Each time jacking up the allowable budget under Tabor before refunds get kicked in. Even with all that, refunds are now coming to Colorado taxpayers. In a way to take credit for the sun rising, our governor has decided to send us those rebates sooner than they would normally come. That is, usually we just pay less in taxes next year. No. In what is some great election year hocus pocus, they're going to send us a check. And will it say, here's your Tabor refund? I doubt it. And those checks will come just before ballots go out this fall. Originally, they were going to be about $400. And then we're swimming in so much of your tax money. It is now $500. And then today they announce, no, it could be as much as $750 back for every taxpayer. Could be $1,500 for a couple. And you're going to get these checks from our benevolent dictator governor, and therefore you're going to want to vote for him. That's just clever. Give the guy some points for chutzpah. Taking credit for the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which they all despise. And then tweaking it so that you get that refund sooner, so he gets credit for something he voted against. Only in politics does this bizarro, surreal silliness actually happen. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. To the phones we go. Let's chat with Elaine. Elaine, welcome. You're with John Caldera.
Hi, John. I consider you a very savvy person politically. So I wanted to talk to you about, I've really been on the fence because I'm conservative, and I really like Ron Hanks as a person, but I don't think he's going to win. I don't know about the governor's race. I don't know what you would. I just have been in such a quandary. I haven't voted yet. I just don't
know. And by the way, It's understandable because I feel the same way you feel. And here's how I'll break it out. I believe that our governor is going to be very difficult to beat. He is remarkably popular. He could write his own check. If he needs to write another $30 million check, he can do so. The question is, who is better to run against him? And we've got two good qualified people. We're fortunate that we've got people who could do the job.
Yeah.
And I've known both of them for a long time. Greg Lopez is a good man. He is a he's a hardcore conservative. I think he would be able to run the state very, very well. But before you run the state, you got to win.
That's the thing. You've got to win. Otherwise, all the good ideas you have are not going to be any good.
So he was the last time he ran on a, I forget which race it was. He got like 11% of the vote statewide. I don't think he's going to be a huge vote getter. At the state assembly, he announced as governor, he would pardon Tita Peters. And that made the crowd very happy. But it's one of those things that will be used against him in a general election. He's had some issues, some domestic issues, and some business issues that will come out. They're already out, but they'll be used against him in a general. Some domestic violence issues that he has spoken about very, very plainly and to his credit. But those ads will come out. My sense is that Heidi will do better in a general. She will be harder to choose to pick apart from a media point of view. She is already a statewide elected Republican. Matter of fact, she is our only statewide elected Republican as a CU regent. That doesn't mean she's got huge name recognition. I don't think she does. But I think there are two impressive people. My vote is certainly going to go to Heidi for the reasons I said. I think she stands a better chance of beating our governor. And I'm not just looking at the governor's race. My real concern are those races below that, the state Senate, which we should win back strongly.
I know that you do a lot of causes and a lot of ballot amendments and so forth. I really think it's unfair that Polis can use all of his money with no regulation and everybody else has to be regulated because they're using other people's money. I think that's really something to work on in the future.
I think it's awful. We have sued over campaign finance reform laws in the past at the Independence Institute. I've got a poster, a placard in my office from the Amendment 27. This was the campaign finance amendment that passed. And it was one of the pro signs. And it said, vote yes on 27. Get big money out of politics. That's what it says. Big, bold letters. Get big money out of politics. Well, with campaign finance laws, it has done just the opposite, as we said it would. So now we have rich people against rich people. So you think about Polis, who can self-finance, write a check for $30 million.
Yep.
Heidi has to go around and ask people for, $400 or $500 a time to try to put that money together. There's just no way you can match rich guys running for office. Campaign finance laws were made so that rich guys can run for office. That's what this is.
Really not
there.
I have one more thing to say. I know you're busy. Michael Bennett is completely worthless. If there's any way we can get rid of him, we need to do that with whoever.
We had time after time after time to get rid of Michael Bennett. This will be his third time around, and the only reason Michael Bennett is in office is because Republicans screwed up when running against him.
Yep.
Ken Buck ran against him, he was ahead in the polls until Ken said some things that were turned around, including being gay is a choice. And you know, it was just a bad decision on a bad year. Then we had Daryl Glenn, who in kind of Ron Hanks fashion said, I'm a proudly pro-life constitutional Republican. What that meant was, I will never be elected in a pro-abortion state. And he got massacred. So, yes, I agree. Michael Bennett is the easiest, most accidental senator in Congress. He's the easiest to beat, but we haven't been able to beat him because we put weak candidates in front of him that are easily defeatable.
Right.
And this year, we could win.
Yeah.
I just don't. I have a hard time seeing Ron Hanks pulling that one off. Not because he wouldn't be a great senator.
No.
I think he'd be a spectacular senator.
Yeah.
Just
if you
like
don't win, you can't do it if you don't win. So.
Right. And just like Daryl Glenn would have been a superb senator. But when you go out there and lead with the issues that swing voters violently disagree with you on, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
And especially this year when the issues are inflation, the economy, and crime, you don't go out there and lead with abortion. It's just...
Not in Colorado.
In Alabama, yeah. Sure. In yeah. Colorado, no.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Elaine.
Thank you.
303-696-1971. That's 303-696-1971. Our governor is going to give us our refunds as if he has anything to do with it. It's such a ploy. It's such a phony little ploy. Instead of waiting a couple more months for your refund, I'm going to bump it up and make it look like it came from me. It is what incumbents do to get more power. It's as disingenuous as voting for the tax increase on our gasoline, as he did, an 8 cents a gallon increase on our gasoline. He called it a fee, so you would not have to have the burden of voting on it. And then he decided, no, I'm going to put it on the back burner for a couple years until I get reelected. Incredible. Billy, who do we have there? Nick. All right, let's talk to Nick. Nick, welcome. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you, Nick.
Thank you for taking my call. As far as the abortion issue is concerned, I think this state is more conservative than you think. The problem is that our candidates don't express it properly. They frame the question in the wrong way. I do not think the majority of voters in this state want abortion right through the time of birth. I really don't believe that.
If that were the case, let me ask you, Nick, why is it that a couple years ago, when a pretty reasonable late-term abortion initiative was on the ballot, that which would bring us not even as restricted as California's abortion law, that it got massacred at the ballot box?
Well, I might be reading the tea leaves wrong, but I think most people believe a woman should have the right to choose through the first trimester, but not right to birth. That's my take, and I think the whole question was phrased and put. It was not structured properly in front of the average voter, because it doesn't make any sense when you think about it.
Well, how,
to approve. To
wait
approve
a second. I'm confused. Help me out. The late-term abortion ban that Christy Burton Brown did a superb job bringing forward was really very clear-cut. It said, except in case of rape, incest, health of the mother, that abortions after, I think it was 22 weeks, would not be allowed. This was more lenient, more pro-abortion than many states, including California. It wasn't that difficult to understand what the initiative did. It was as clear as could be. It was right there in the language. You're telling me that voters were dumb and they didn't understand what they were voting on?
Well, maybe I'm misreading the tea leaves. Maybe this state is more liberal than I think. I just think that the average conservative candidate is going to have a difficult time then, because how are you going to express your opinion when this is what's going on in the state? I don't have a good answer for it.
Right, but let's be careful. You know, we project our own desires onto other people. We do this all the time. And so we think, no, this is a pro-life state. No, it's not a pro-life state. When Christy Burton Brown put forward that initiative, it was a late-term abortion ban, and Coloradans destroyed it. It wasn't even close. It was destroyed. Now, Coloradans might not like abortion. They might hope women don't get abortion, but access to abortion was obviously something that Coloradans strongly supported and still do. So to lead with being anti-abortion as your main thing is political suicide in this state. And when Daryl Glenn did it 6 years ago, he got killed. You think it's going to be different this year with even more progressives in our state?
Probably not. So the only way a Republican could win is to somehow find a way to soft pedal it and concentrate on other issues that are really actually more important, I think, than the abortion issue.
Exactly. But that's not what Republicans are doing. When Ron Hanks comes out and his announcement video shoots a Dominion voting machine with a rifle.
That was just stupid. That was
what he's advertising is, I believe that the election was stolen. Since Trump lost by, 14 points in this state, that seems to be
A stretch.
Yeah, let's just call it a stretch here in Colorado. So I get it. It sings to us conservatives, but we have to sing to those swing voters. And if there was ever a year in all my decades in Colorado politics, if there was ever a year where particularly single mother suburbanites who tend to vote Democrat, if there were ever a time to grab them and get them involved as a Republican and pull the lever Republican, it is this year, as they see crime everywhere, as their
exactly.
kids have to walk by transients.
How does a candidate who believes that abortion is not should not happen, especially after the first trimester, how do they work around that issue? Because you know that the Democrats will keep pounding on that issue to try to obscure the other issues.
Well, the key is you don't pound on it. Yes, of course, Democrats will do it, but you don't lead with this. This is not the issue. It's interesting how Joe O'Dea decided to handle this. And I thought it was foolish at first, and I'm starting to think maybe it was smarter than I thought. He came out and said before this primary that he would support codifying Roe versus Wade or some degree. In other words, as senator, if there was something to protect abortion rights, he'd likely vote for it. Now, that's going to anger the pro-life base in the Republican Party that's going to come out and vote against him. But a lot of them would probably vote against him anyway because they like Hanks. What it does is it opens up the possibility of unaffiliated voters voting for him in the general, should he survive to the general. They will not be able to call him a anti-abortion candidate. He's already made his position, and it wouldn't be expedient to do it otherwise. So he made a tough call, I'm talking politically. If it pays off and he wins this primary, it certainly helps him in the general, because suburban middle of the road voters won't go, oh, he's one of those crazy anti-abortion Republicans, because he says he wants to codify aspects of Roe versus Wade in federal law. Wow. A gutsy maneuver.
Just as a quick aside, what really bothers me is how this whole abortion issue is being framed. The Supreme Court is not trying to get rid of Roe versus Wade. If they vote against Roe versus Wade, and correct me if I'm wrong, all they're saying is this is not a matter for the Supreme Court. We're going to put it back on the state level where it belongs.
Yeah,
they're not
that's all it is.
Get rid, but it's being framed as, oh, it's they're going to get rid of Roe versus Wade. That's not true.
Well, it is true. They're going to get rid of Roe versus Wade. It doesn't criminalize abortion. It leaves it to the states. And it's interesting that folks in Europe have come, you know, they don't understand our obsession with abortion. And the reason is their abortion laws have evolved through elections, through representative government, not through a court case. And the same thing will happen here. In Colorado, nothing changes. Let me say it again. When and if Roe versus Wade is found unconstitutional, if it's reversed, nothing changes here in Colorado. Even before this last legislative session passed their truly virtue signaling bill on abortion rights, it would have changed nothing. Nothing changes. All right, I got to run. Thanks for the call. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. All right, so I guess he's an Esquire. I've never understood that. I hate titles. Esquire. Esquire. All right, 303-696-1971. On your coffee table is the primary ballot. And this is where Republicans usually savage one another. It's where radio stations like KNUS make some extra money because you hear all these wonderful radio ads. And they're bashing each other back and forth. You know, one of the benefits Joe O'Dea has in this campaign is he has no voting record. So it's really easy to go after Ron Hanks' voting record because there is one there. Should O'Dea become a senator, his next election, he'll be the guy getting all the he voted against this, or he voted with the president X amount of times, or whatever the sound clip du jour is. My concern, I think it's kind of the Bill Buckley thing. How do you get the most conservative electable candidate? Haven't we learned from Dan Mays and Daryl Glenn? We want to win this election. It's going to be tough. Let's be honest. The demographics of Colorado has changed. We haven't had a Republican governor since Bill Owens. And we didn't have a Republican governor before Bill Owens for 24 years. It's not easy. I don't believe the state is as progressive as the socialists who are in charge of it right now make it seem. I do believe we are a very socially liberal state. This is a pro-pot state. This is a pro-abortion state. This is a pro-LGBT state. These things are truthful. But at the same time, when Coloradans get to vote on the size of government, tax increases, usually they vote anti-tax, usually. Where does that put us? I don't know. I do know that every poll I've seen shows that generic Republicans do very well this year. Too bad we have nobody running for office named generic. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Frank. Frank, welcome. You're with John Caldera. So glad to have you.
Hey, John. Hey, I want to second what you're saying, and I think we have to kind of optimize our potential outcomes here. And in doing that, I think we have to prioritize what offices we can honestly take back. should have. I don't think the state house is going to be gettable, but the Senate definitely is. And if we ruin our chances, which is to get the Senate back by running a bunch of up-ticket candidates who have no chance in the world, then, I mean, we're ruining our chances in the one areas where we can win. And I can't, you know, it seems to me that in the larger ticket items, like Secretary of State, which should not be a political office at all, although Jenna Griswold has turned it into that, I think that the lady out in Jeffco has the best chance by far to unseat Jenna Griswold. And Griswold has a lot of baggage to point to. I think that there's a chance, a puncher's chance, that Joe O'Day can knock out Bennett. But there's Ron Hanks has no chance whatsoever. Tina Peters has no chance whatsoever. And neither of those people are really qualified for the offices they're running for. We have to be honest about it. And the more we focus on these silly, like, single-issue items like abortion, we shouldn't even touch that. I think O'Day did a great, smart thing by saying that, look, if the state wants to essentially codify Roe versus Wade, that's where the issue should be heard in the first place. I mean, that's
now
exactly
to be clear, it's my understanding, at least, O'Day made the statement that as a United States senator, he would vote to codify abortion rights on a federal level. Mind you, that doesn't matter to Colorado because we already have full abortion rights. There's very few states. I think there's only 7 states that have abortion on demand all the way up to birth, the way Colorado does. So, you know, it's a safe thing for him to say. It was a wise thing for him to say, assuming he gets out of the primary. Hey, Frank, thanks for the call. Have yourself a great morning. 303-696-1971. Vince, good morning. You're with John Caldera.
Good morning, John. Hey, I wanted to agree with you that our erstwhile governor is a genius when it comes to this political move of declaring himself the great king.
The affordability governor, that he cares about affordability. And here, let me give you back some of the money I stole from you without a vote of the people. I mean, people should be incensed by this. Should be incensed by him voting in tax increases without bringing it to a vote of the people as required by Tabor. You know, it's just disingenuous for him to raise the taxes like gas tax and Uber taxes and then put them on hold until after his reelection. Oh my God, how slimy is that?
It's brazen, and the reason he gets away with it is a lapdog media that you use the correct term, fawns over him. He'll never utter the words Douglas Bruce, who wrecked his career to give us Tabor. You know, he's the forgotten man here. He's the he's the name that should be on the check that goes to the people so that blue voters can say, who's Douglas Bruce, and actually look it up and find out what he gave us as a great defender of limited government.
Yep, I agree.
So, you know, the governor takes advantage of the fawning media combined with, let's face it, an uninformed electorate who doesn't know the difference between a handout check and a Tabor check. And
but also,
is not
let's recall that Tabor is what? 1992. I mean, we're talking 30 years old. So most Coloradans don't understand the beauty of Tabor, and we on the right have done a poor job celebrating Tabor and what it has done for the state and what it has done for taxpayers and businesses.
Exactly.
It really is. It's a shame.
Well, why aren't our candidates on the soapbox right now shouting Tabor and explaining Tabor and using the word Douglas Bruce?
I think many of them are. I think we have a media that doesn't care. Let's keep in mind, Republicans, when they put together what they call their commitment to Colorado a few months back, all met at a gas station and talked about Tabor and talked about how much the left is doing to make Colorado unaffordable. And a couple of news outlets ran a picture, but it's not the day-to-day stuff. On the day-to-day stuff, the media is all over the governor. The governor gets any sort of publicity he wants. He is a megaphone here, and nobody does it better than Polis. Polis also has a Bill Clinton-esque quality of
Teflon.
Not just Teflon, but morphing into whatever crowd he's in front of. If he's talking if he's talking to the Bitcoin guys, he's talking about crypto, and he talks so beautifully. If he's around energy guys, he'll talk about energy. If he's around the greens, he'll talk about greens with great confidence. And people actually buy it. If you read, I think it's today or yesterday's Wall Street Journal, one of our energy guys at the Independence Institute, Jake Fogelman, took the Wall Street Journal to task for fawning over Jared Polis in an editorial because he vetoed one bad environmental bill. One bad. And the Wall Street Journal said, oh, my God, look at this. A guy standing up to the climate change lobby. It's like, no, he is the climate change lobby. And this one little symbolic thing doesn't make up for the massive damage he has done on economic and environmental issues here in Colorado. So check that out at
I will.
In the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, please check out the Independence Institute at thinkfreedom.org. Thinkfreedom.org. That's my organization. We've been around for since the mid-80s. We have Tabor and term limits and concealed carry and charter schools, all because of the work that Independence Institute has done. And also check out CompleteColorado.com if you want a news aggregator that's free, no paywalls. CompleteColorado.com. It should be a daily, twice daily read. It's just great free news from around the state aggregated right to you.
Well, let's get our blue friends to check it out as well.
Indeed. Hey, thanks for the call. I think I need to take a quick breather here. Joe, stay on the line. I want to get to you next. I'm John Caldera, 303-696-1971. Keep it right here on good old 710 KNUS. Eddie Van Halen, still dead. I'm tired of all my childhood rock stars and actors dying. I'm tired of it. Put me down. Anti-mortality. When I was a kid, they said Eddie Van Halen was the fastest guitarer on record, as if there was a record on how fast someone could play guitar. All right. It's still fun. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Got a line open, 303-696-1971. Let's talk with Joe. Joe, welcome. So glad to have you.
Thanks, John. Good to be on. Yeah, it's sad that he is still dead, but fortunately, JFK Jr. is alive and well, so all is good, which sort of leads me into my point that I don't, and I'm a pretty middle-of-the-road libertarian, independent, weird, whatever, but I don't trust the Republican Party or any of these candidates as far as I could throw. And I could rip on the Democrats just as bad. As somebody who is in the middle, who understands compromise is the reality of life, you're not going to get everything you want, who strives for the most sort of personal freedom and independence from government influence over my life, I feel like I'm stuck trying to pick heads or tails on the same fascist coin. Both parties.
And you're not alone by that, but that is the nature of elections, isn't it? There are, let's say 6 million people in Colorado. Joe, there is one of you. The chances that someone who agrees with you on everything, well, that person just doesn't exist. So you're going to have to choose one of the other, 6 million people to represent you, and they're not going to agree with you. You're not going to agree with them. And so when you whittle it down, it gets, it's always going to be a choice of the lesser two. That's kind of what elections are, unless you happen to be with a guy who's just exactly like you. And that's very, very rare.
Well, and the fact that you admit that it's our entire election system is based on the lesser of two evils.
Well, I didn't say it was based on it. I said that's the reality of a constitutional
republic. That's the
reality
of the parties. Even if
it's not the reality of the parties. Even if there were no parties, we would still be voting for people, you know, that you might not like.
And that's potentially true. So in the instance where I've been the last couple of cycles is I'm voting for some third party candidate just to get them a little more traction so that someday somebody might be able to break out between these two political groups.
What do you know of
destroying?
What do you know of a concept
for
called
their own benefit?
What do you know of a concept called approval voting? I suggest you particularly check out approval voting. The idea is you get to vote for as many or as few candidates as you like, and whoever gets the most wins. And so for somebody like you who would vote for, let's say, the Libertarian candidate, but maybe you'd also vote for the Republican, you could vote for both. That way they both get your vote, but whoever gets the most
voting.
Rank voting, I'm much more skeptical of, because there's ways to game the mathematics of it, where at approval voting, you really can't. So there are ways to address your thought, which is, am I wasting my vote by voting for a third party guy? And yeah, you are. You're wasting your vote.
Oh, yeah, I am. I get
and,
it. But and, I'd rather vote my conscience than continue to perpetuate the bad
system
but, that we're stuck
you know,
in.
If the lesser two evils, if one is Hitler and the other one is, I don't know, Biden, yeah, I'd vote for Biden. You know, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't vote.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.